Welcome to Us and My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Welcome to Optimize My Life Presents Special Edition. It's a combination between Monday's show, Hometown Hero, Wednesday's show, Knowing Kindness, Celebration of International Women's Day. And this day is all about honoring women who have stepped up to make a difference in the world, to get free equality for all genders and everybody, and to make the world a better place. Excuse me. And we have a lot of phenomenal women who have done a lot of things and paved the way for us, such as Susan B. Anthony, Amelia Earhart, Helen Keller, to name just a minor, small, minute list. We talked about a few today in the morning show, and we have quite a few women that are paving the way today to keep going with the movement and making the world a better place and stopping violence, among other things. And we have honored with the president of the Hope Collection, Mr. Ron Clayton. Would you like to do our introductions, sir?
Well, thank you very much, Mary. And again, as Mary's explained, many years ago, a gentleman that came into my wife and I's life, and his wife, Dr. Joel Griffin, and his wonderful wife, Artith Griffin, who had formed a company that was changing lives around the world and significantly have touched the lives of not hundreds, not thousands, but tens of thousands of people, and not just at one time in their life, for a whole career that they have and are continuing, and she is continuing to carry on the vision and the mission of making this a better world. And Artith, who is educated in several areas, she is an incredible music person, singer, has led choirs all over the country. She actually trained. You remember the movie Sound of Music? Well, Artith Griffin actually trained where they filmed that school in the, I think it's in Austria, there in the mountains, you know. Remember the World Alive with Sound of Music? And the artist actually is a recording star. She sang with some very successful country music, gospel people a few years ago. And she helped drive and build an organization around the world with her husband called GEI, Griffin International Enterprises. And it was all about helping people get a hold of who they are and of taking God's talents, maximizing the use in their life and making their lives better. And they did it with a principle of serving others. And so I get the privilege today because I've been privileged. My wife and I, we've been privileged to know Joel and Artith our entire life, our entire married life. You know, I dare say of all the people that we got married in 1974, we met them in 75. And I would say I can make this claim. Of all the people that in our circle of friends going that far back and relatives, we're the only ones still standing. The impact that she has had and how leading as a woman, as an example, someone who quietly sometimes, and also she's a firm woman. She knows how to operate and help build things, and she has been so helpful and sensitive. She's a grandma today, although she's still young, very young. And she's a grandma to a whole basketball team of kids, her son, and her daughter-in-law have just done an outstanding job. She's the mother of a gal who is I will tell you, Quinn Courtney, their daughter, and her daughter, in my life, I don't know that I've ever met a more outstanding, happy, wonderful, outgoing person that lights up a room when she walks into it. From the time she was a three-year-old child, this was Quinn Courtney that Joel and I was raised, and Artis has brought them up to be a light in this world. So Artis, that's, I want people to know, because we have people not only on the blog radio show, Optimize Your Life, we broadcast as a radio station around the world, and so people are listening in all over the world. And I just had to go through those different attributes to introduce you today as we honor you for all these things of who you are. Artis, welcome.
Thank you, Ron. I'm really humbled to have this opportunity to just give a little history. And Ron highlighted some things, and I think this show is absolutely a must for people that are searching to improve their lives and improve mental health as well as their physical health, and also they're reaching out to others. So I'm really honored to be on this program today. Thank you.
Welcome, Artis. You have touched so many lives, and that's why we did not only just invite you to be on, but our whole purpose today is to recognize you for it. And I know as you as a humble person, you don't go around necessarily telling anybody about it. That's why I had to say those things about you, because you wouldn't go around. I know you never talk about your recording the country album, gospel album, music album, that you were the keynotes singer on that album. And I know you don't talk about that, but we're still proud of you for that. But it's just another piece of who you are and how you've touched so many lives, and our lives in particular. And there's a number of people on the call today that I know. There's several board members from the Hope Collection, that the organization that today you lead, and the official title is sponsor of the Hope Collection. And we work for you and the Lord. And I know you know that right. We do that. So I believe there's some other people that want to say hello, too. So I'll shut up and let you listen or talk.
Yeah,
I hear the mighty oak.
Hi, Ronnie. Hi, Artis.
Hi, Bob.
Congratulations on this honor that we're given you. You've given us so many honors over the year. You've blessed us in so many ways.
And we just
thank you. Thank you. And God is good. He's brought us together, and He is looking out for all of us and given us what we need to help other people. And I just thank you so much, you and Joel, for teaching us along the way and helping us to learn and to think about keeping the focus on the other people and not on us, because that's what was important. Every time I met you, I think I said it a couple times, every time I see you, you look younger. And
you're kind.
So anyway, I want to do a little shout out for my mom too, because my mom was a tremendous woman, and she raised us boys. Despite all the problems we caused for her, she raised us, and we all became helpers and leaders of other people and helping other people. And so and it was because of her leadership. And she's no longer with us, but she lived to be 92. And I thank God for putting me in the family that I was put into. So anyway, I'm going to turn it back to either Ron or Mary, you guys. Thank you.
Thank you for those kind words.
So I have a quick question for you. So, you know, you started doing things long before you were married. What is your inspiration to keep going? But what started you in this field of helping everybody?
Oh, good question, because I was raised by a wonderful father and mother that were always instrumental in wanting to help others and being placed there and knowing that I was loved unconditionally and was taught the word and why I was here on earth was to help others. And so growing up, my parents were very active in church, and they were very active in other people's lives to help help in any way they could. It wasn't always financially, because they provided well for us, but it was sometimes a struggle. And so understanding the purpose of why we are here on earth made a huge difference in my outlook as far as seeing them in action. And they surrounded us with other people that had the same mindset. So in growing up and going to college and being blessed by them to pay for my college education, which was a struggle, really initiated that concern for others. And of course, meeting Joel in college, the love of my life, and us moving forward and getting married out of college. And you know, we were both teachers, and as far as I'm concerned, that is supposed to be a very helping profession, and having these children's lives in your hands for almost 8 hours every day makes for a real fertile ground to plant seeds in their lives, and no matter what kind of background that they come from. So as challenging as it was at times, it really caused us to understand different families and how they operate, and try to encourage them while they were in our classroom. Joel was always a very focused person. He was an All-American in golf and also in basketball in college, and so that took a lot of dedication, but he was also dedicated to teach those principles of working hard and being focused in our family life as well. And so, you know, we just kind of grew together in that occasion of helping the kids in our classrooms, and always thought that, you know, our family would benefit from the lessons that we learned along the way. And as we struggled with not being able to have children, we realized the importance of having a family to give to, and were taught about all the children that needed to have what we could give them. And so God provided the children for us to nurture and bring through life challenges, as all families have them at times. And we realized at that point that our teaching incomes that we had and devoted ourselves to was not actually just helping us to accomplish some of the goals and dreams that we had always wanted to provide for our family. And so consequently, we actually were introduced to an industry that not only provided us a better income that we could use as our vehicle to provide for our family, but it not only gave us financial rewards, but I think overall gave us a bigger and better picture of training us to be better examples for us by nurturing our reading habits, by taking, making our time of value instead of using it for entertainment purposes this evening, whether it was watching TV or whatever it was, but using some of that time, even though we were still full-time teachers. I remember Joel, he, as I said, was an avid golfer, and he put aside that because he knew that the time that he used to do that was taking away from our family time and productivity in this new industry that we were nurturing. And so he put a big picture of one of his dreams on our TV and made it so that if he wanted to watch TV, he had to take down his dream. And that was very impacting on how we used our time. I think a lot of times we were just making use of what time we had by watching TV instead of being productive, helping others. So we learned a lot of lessons through a lot of coaching from our mentors that we were blessed to have and continue to have relationships with them today. So I think I over-talked about what you asked me, Mary. Okay.
Well, thank you, Orta, for that. That was it was so appropriate. I know I've known you for more than 40 years, and I'd have to agree with what you're saying. The things that you did, and you and Joel did together, were just amazing to all of us. And thank you so much, and thank God for putting you in our lives.
You know, Joel, initially he would have said that I was the dreamer because I could make a list of things that I wanted to accomplish and experience for our family. But he truly became the visionary, and that's why the Hope Collection came about. It truly was his passion. And I just filled in the gaps wherever I needed to. And I'm so grateful for so many of them that have gone on and continued his vision and are refocusing and updating and making it more of a in today's world so people can truly benefit from all the resources that are available. Thank you.
Miss Artist, this is Keisha Sharp. I wanted to ask you if you could tell us where people can learn about the things that the Hope Collection does, and they can get more information on it, or you know, or get involved or whatever. Can you tell us that?
Oh yes. Actually, the website is being revamped and updated with a much better access and more distinct information. Actually, we are so blessed to have Mary being the one that is revamping the website so that it is more user-friendly. So actually, I'm going to turn it over to Mary so that she can explain just what's in place right now.
Right now,
I'm gonna intercept.
We have
Mary.
Go ahead, country boy.
Let me intercept the pass. I'm going to jump in real quick, and you can make note of this, that
I'm going to speak very shortly for the very first time in my life. But, Artis, when you were speaking just now, you know how long I've known you and Joel, for well over 20 years. And even a seed that he planted back down in a little place called Milan, Georgia, which is a 287-acre property that used to be a prison. And Joel's vision was to turn that into a shelter for 2,000-plus homeless veterans that are sleeping underneath the bridge, and that will still continue on, Artis. Only thing I wanted to say, Artis, is when I wrote down when you were speaking just now, Artis says, I was the one that impregnated the dream. She said, we wasn't fortunate enough to have children, but I was pregnant with dreams. After I collided my dreams with my husband's vision, I put an equal sign, equaling a masterpiece. And the last thing, Artis, your dream plus Joel's vision created a masterpiece. And wonderful woman, you are of God. You are truly a work of art. Back to you, Mary.
Yes. Okay. So we do have a website up. It's not the best. We're working on revamping it and putting together a new website with the videos to explain what each pillar is. But right now we have up and running, if you go to Hope Collection 2023 on Facebook, it is our Facebook page, and we're adding groups to this, and each person who runs a pillar will have a group, so that if you have questions or suggestions, or you're an organization that wants to work with us, you can contact us that way and spread the message.
Does that answer your question, Keisha? Did we lose you?
Possibly. It'll also...
Somebody must have their phone on mute.
Could be. We lost a couple callers.
This is Ron trying to interrupt, and I apologize for doing that. But the answer, very simply, Keisha's question, we do have a website. It is functionable. It's called thehopecollection.com. And you can go there, and the first thing you'll see is a video. There's a gal. Her name is Lisa Burke from Florida. Her background, and she is a spokesperson at the moment on our website. And she's an incredible person. She was an anchor desk, anchor news reporter for ABC, NBC, and Fox News. She is incredible. She's beautiful. She's articulate. And she is a spokesperson. She will tell you the whole story of Hope and give you reasons why you should look into utilizing our services and our programs. Mary, you used the word pillars, and the Hope Collection does have 8 pillars or foundations that we work from to provide. The theme of the Hope Collection is helping others by helping them help others. See, it's great. Everybody wants to help somebody. I believe that truly from your heart, everybody does want to help somebody at some time or another. That's a good. That's not bad. That's good. But it's not enough. You see, it's when you can help somebody, you're teaching somebody. Going back to that teaching artist. Now you're going to teach other people. Good afternoon, Derek. We're glad that you've come on the show today. We have many people from all walks of life and all kinds of people that come to the show and contribute or learn from it every day. Under the 8 pillars that I'll name them, they are faith, family, housing, education, the arts, health, wellness, and prosperity, and water and energy. We believe that covers pretty much most of the needs of a human being. Now, under those programs, we have people that have assumed board member positions that represent any of those areas, Keisha. And what they do, we're setting it up, and that's what Mary is talking about, redoing our site. We'll have a video that will welcome you individually to that area when you have an area you have interest in, and we'll have connections for you to get and find answers to the questions like you want to get help. I'll give you a primary example. One of our support programs is called Easter Seals. You might have heard of Easter Seals. That's an incredible organization. It's a 501c3 like us or your church. And what they do is they provide medical services, health services, physical development for services for children or adults who have congenital diseases. Now, let me give you a practical application of that. We were over in Syracuse at a golf tournament. You know, if you're with Joel and Artis, you're at a golf tournament sometime or another in your life. We had a golf tournament to raise funds, money for Easter Seals. On Sunday morning, I spoke at a church to one of the members who was a pastor, and they had a church service recognizing the help of the Gideons. And what that does is an organization, they give out Bibles all over the world. Well, that morning, a van pulled up, held together with duct tape, and this family kind of, father going out, went to the back of it, got the door, and barely held on by duct tape, and he pulled out a wheelchair, held together with duct tape. And then he went to the side, and he lifted his young son out of the front of the vehicle and put him in the chair and wheeled him into church. After church, I got into a conversation with him and his wife and the young man, and I inquired about the situation with the wheelchair, and I just asked him, did he have not resources for he needed a new wheelchair. That's the bottom line. So I asked him, and I was polite. I didn't want to embarrass him. And he told me, he says, well, I own a plumbing business, and the government and everything else tell me, and anywhere else tells me I make too much money. And I'm looking at him. I'm telling you, these people think I make too much money. But I said to him, well, can you get a prescription for a wheelchair from his doctor? He did, and on Monday morning, Artis' daughter, who worked for Easter Seals, I called the office in Rochester, New York. Quinn arranged to have that boy receive a brand-new wheelchair on Wednesday morning. This happened Sunday. Wednesday morning, they delivered a brand-new wheelchair to this family for this young man. There was no baloney, bureaucratic, signed papers, do this, prove that, do that. Easter Seals delivered. Now, that's the kind of support organizations that Hope has. I'll tell you what, they also have a whole program in Rochester, New York for autistic children. And I know this is of interest to Mary, who has a young, in fact, Adriana, a princess, sang the welcome song to the whole show today. And her brother's dynamic girl, Luke Skywalker, and she's princess. But her name is Ariana, and they're like our young spokespeople for the whole collection. And they get help, and Easter Seals can help her family and others like them with services, physical services, training programs, medical services at no charge. So we're a resource. That's what the vision and the passion of Artis and Joel Griffin has done, to have this available in the world. Overall, our theme is helping others by helping them help others. And then we actually work big time with veterans and their extended families and first responders. Well, who's that? I'll just tell you. A taxi cab driver, a teacher, a pastor, and nurse. These are all first responders. They're all on the first scene of delivering a baby or helping someone, caring for someone, teaching someone. These are the people we serve. And we are all servant leaders. That's the principle we operate under. So I'll turn it back to you, Mary, but I had to give Keisha an idea that when you go to the hopecollection.com site, right now you can still learn all this. It's there.
That is so true. So we have so many great guests on today. And another one I'd like to introduce is Dr. Deborah Clark, the Green Queen.
Yes. Hello, everyone. And it's a pleasure to meet all of you. I know I've known Country Boy for a long time. He's that old and I'm that young. And and he's so I know a lot of you. in conversation with him. And they do call me the Green Queen. I've been in environmental recycling since 2008 here in the state of Georgia. And I've worked alongside Senator Donzella James, who wrote the Zero Waste by 2020 in 1995, which became the catalyst for all 50 states setting a precedence for recycling and sustainability in their state. Of course, Georgia's been a little behind the eight ball, but the legislation by which people now keep their states green and clean originated here in the state of Georgia through Senator James. So she mentored me for about 10 years and taught me to write my own legislation and to work with state legislators on how to keep Georgia beautiful and to start by educating not just our community members, but our state legislators on why they need to allocate funds and support organizations that help us keep our land, air, and water clean and green. And just to give you a little background, one of our initiatives is called Hope for the Holidays. And I thought it was apropos to have the Hope Collection on the meeting today, on the podcast today. And it was just nice listening to hearing the services you provide, because Green Shade Foundation, which was formed in, actually got our 501c3 about 4 years ago, but we've been working in the state of Georgia for 20 years under just the, you know, I didn't have the designation because I needed to know what it is I wanted to do to provide resources for the state of Georgia environmentally and to provide community engagement programs that would help educate and empower our community to want to do right and keep Mother Earth happy. As you notice, she hasn't been very happy here lately. So we're having winter in the summer and summer in the fall, and one day we'll, you know, all pitch in together and get this climate change back on course. But I started working with children. I am a former foster care mom, and I have been mentoring children for over 40 years, and now I'm mentoring big kids. I work with our unsheltered community, and they're my guest every Sunday with partnerships that help them to get healthy foods, clothes, resources. And my job is to provide assessments. I'm a people person and have been for, you know, all my life. I think when I started out, I was just, everyone got a lot of gifts, and I got the gift of being able to talk to people and make them feel at home. And what we do every Sunday, we each, there's a partnership with Trinity Table. They're located at 365 Washington Street, right across from City Hall. And it's a church on the corner, and a very vital one. It's catacorner all of the state legislative buildings, the governor's building, the governor's offices, the Coverdale building, the government buildings where all of our lower level employees work. And of course, we're right across the street from City Hall. There's a church located there that ministers to anywhere between 100 to 150 men and women every Sunday. Our job at Green Shade Foundation through Hope at the Holidays is to provide them a way to reconnect and reestablish a lifestyle that was once broken. And our job is to find out what is it we need to do to help you reestablish relationship with your family members, help you to get jobs. And our focus is on jobs. And now our biggest focus is on housing relocation. As you know, in the state of Georgia, we have not just a pandemic, but we have a deficiency of over 25,000 affordable housing shortages per county. That's close to 4 million homes that need to be built so people can have some place to live. And a lot of people, well, there's plenty of places to live, affordability. when you're talking about the unsheltered community, and that includes working unsheltered seniors in Alvet, when they get a job, most of the time it's a job that supplements their income, or it's a job because they have other challenges. They don't get the highest paying job. So if they make maybe $10, $15 an hour, and they're working 30 hours up to 30, 40 hours a week, by the time they take out tax and everything, do you know that a room to rent now runs between $600 and $900 a month, renting a room? And so a lot of our clients and that we actually find work for, they say, Ms. Clark, I'm leaving work, but I got to go back under the bridge, or I have to go behind Trinity Church and go to sleep. And the first time I had an opportunity to minister there, and I just want you to know I graduated into this, working with this demographic. I started on real estate, and of course, you know, I understood how to sell houses. And then I went into property management, project manager. I'm a certified project manager. And I learned how to put projects together as a property manager. I learned how to lease room apartments, and I learned how to manage buildings. But it was when I became a resident service director for 8 years in low-wealth apartment communities, I learned how to build community. And the scripture says God sets the solitary in families. God sets people in families and communities where they can be cared for and loved and supported and endeared with someone in a community. You get to say hello. You get to watch each other's kids. You get to borrow sugar. You get to go to church together. You get to go to an event together. And that's one of the broken pieces when you're working with the unsheltered community. Outside of Trinity House, I go under the bridge and I sit with them, sit down with them, and I talk to them, find out where did the line get broken, where did the bridge break. I think a lot of times, too, I've had a nonprofit for a long time, and I didn't get a 501c3 so I could go and make a lot of money and say something, beat my chest. And I was called to serve, and I was called by God to serve 45 years ago, and that's what I continue to do. Of course, I could be doing other things. You know, when you get real educated, you go out and prove to everybody that you're smart. But I guess the greatest love that you can ever have on the planet is to serve each other. And I, during the pandemic, pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, and during the pandemic, I was an essential worker, and I realized how afraid people were, how lonely people were, and how fragile people were. And that allowed me to now, this gift that God had given me to serve people, it allowed it to blossom. And as we talk about what people's needs are, they need a lot, you know, a lot of people have programs and things, but they need a touch. When we're down on Sundays, and we do that between, we set up at 12 o'clock, and we minister for about 2 hours, and, you know, even when we first started, we used to serve them outdoors, and I kept saying, we have to do better. We have to do better. Now we're indoors. And they're my friends. They know me by name. It's 100 of them. It's only one of me, so it's taking me a minute. But the beautiful part about friendships and embracing friendships and learning new friendships is what you learn about yourself, the fears, the doubts. You learn how to grow. And as a young girl of 60-plus, I am getting younger and younger because I'm learning how to embrace more people in my lifetime and shed whatever I think I am to become what they need me to be. Housing.
Deborah, can
crucial.
I be kind, rude for 1 second, and then I'll
no,
push
you
back to you in there.
No.
You don't have to let me do. You don't have to let me tell them, baby. Now, too, it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But Deborah has been my mentor for about 40 years. When she says she's been working in the streets, Ron, you've heard me say before, we don't really care whether you graduated from Harvard or Yale or just got out of jail. It takes a different type of spirit cons and crackheads and people that are not grateful. So when Deborah went out on her assignment, she first thing I told her, she said, boy, you better come on, put your big boy drawers on today. We got a tough crew to work with because they've been hurt. They've been cheated. They've been lied to. They've been cast aside. She had to get me to understand when we go out here in Country Boy, we need to take our own amens with us. We're going to get people that's not grateful. They don't know how to say thank you. Nobody's going to give you a certificate or plaque or trophy. Either you got the heart to do it or not. Last one, Deborah, right. I don't want to steal, but like when she started talking to me, Deborah is the person when she says green by 2020, they was calling Deborah the green queen before anybody knew what going green meant. Deborah had the kids, the parents, the grandparents walking around in their own community picking up paper and cans and bottles and McDonald bags and these things. Deborah had me working in 14 different communities working with the kids, and that's where my art, one man's trash, I'm about done, Deborah, to another man's treasure. She had kids picking up drink cans, and I was turning them into airplanes. When the Wizard of Oz came out, I remember Tin Man. We was making Tin Man out of tin cans. Then Deborah says, you guys, there's no cans on the ground today. What are we going to do? Some kid bought me a bucket full of pine cones, and I made a saxophone out of it. So Deborah is responsible for me. And then the last part, those computer screens that have mercury that they can't throw into the landfills, and what do you do with that big TV, that the big boo tube that has things that's not biodegradable? Deborah says, let me be the end. She's the beginning and the end, just like her father. She would take these computer screens, and she says she didn't get into the money. Do you know anybody else that's operated a non-for-profit organization for 30-plus years and never had a grant? She was taking their computer screens and getting them back to the company that could recycle them to use them. That's how she sustained. When I wrote this last one, Deborah, when I just wrote three, self, did y'all hear that word? Self, self-sustaining fundraisers. I learned it from my mentor, my friend, my prayer warrior, the Green Queen, Miss Deborah Clark. Back to you, Deborah.
He is too kind. He's too kind. You guys, I do not fly around on wings. I do not have a halo on my head. I just have a heart God gave me to love his people. That's it. And he'll give anyone the heart if you'll just be willing to just, you know, it's really about just putting yourself, your vision, your dreams aside and allowing him to give you the one he wants you to have. Because that one, what I do now.
Amen.
Yeah, what I do now is more important than I could have ever dreamed of. I mean, because can you imagine people remembering you for stuff you did? You didn't even think you were doing anything. And I want to get quickly on June the 29th, we're going to have a barbecue and build it. We're going to build the first container home, shipping container home. It's going to be a 40-foot high cube. It's going to be a certified container, one trip. And I helped a lady's sister 6 years ago, and I met again in Macy's, the two of them, and her sister is the designer for Christian Dior. And she said, you helped my sister 6 years ago, and now I hear what you get ready to do. She says, I'm going to design your first container for you, because that's what I do as an interior designer. I want to say thank you. This was like 6 years later. When I did it, the lady was in need. You never know how the universe has this stuff come back to you, man. I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to have a designer design our first container home. So, you know, I'm really excited about getting this thing done. And so we're working on the flyer and all that, and I'll be sending the flyer out to all of you who could assist us, because this will be not only our first model, it will be our office space. And our architect was just given 95,000 square foot on warehouse, and he is allowing us to host the event there. And he has built container models all over the state of Georgia. He does have the ring to kiss, and the mayor is very excited about what's going to be coming forth from Tony Pope's office. And I was excited about the fact that he wanted to be a part of that. So we will have it's going to be a day, Bill. The company MOBU is going to be building it for us. And we have our welders and we have our electricians. And we want to have a lot of people who have registered to come who are interested in making sure that people that want to be housed, not all my friends down under the bridge want to be housed because they've been really wounded. And they don't want to feel like having to pay that hefty rent every month and rental insurance and everything else you have to pay when they're on a fixed budget. So I met with the mayor, and I told him, we're going to start building this affordable housing you guys said you can't do. Now, affordability for them starts at $250,000. That's not true. I mean, and so when we sit down and talk to you guys about what it takes to actually do, and I call it an alternative sustainable community of various models. We have a green brick that is EPA certified and it's FDA. It's got all its certs to it. It's a 2x4 brick. It's made out of recycled styrofoam and cement. Warren Crawley will be on site to talk about that. And then we have Tony Pope. He's doing the modular builds. And I am recycling and upcycling shipping containers to be used as a building material to keep them out of our landfill. So I'm closing the loop on containers. And we wish that everybody would get involved and help us to build these small communities. We do have a small model, 54 units. We would like to do 54 units in various places where there's job creation as well as transit, mass transit, so that people not only have family and community that they live in, but we also have a series of wraparound services that are connected to my 30 years here of doing outreach, that are willing to come and support and make sure they have mobile clinics that can come. We have plenty of fresh food, Hello Fresh. We've got great partnerships that allow them to not just live healthy, but also eat healthy and have a lot of activities that we like to bring on board so that people want to stay, want to live, and want to thrive. So that's me. I can say a whole bunch. Oh, the greatest thing I've ever done is I have three amazing kids that have their own nonprofits. They told me I made a believer out of them, so they went and they're doing pretty much the same thing, but they're doing it in different areas of medicine. My youngest son is an architect, and he was designing tiny homes in his undergrad, and I am looking forward to seeing a lot of young people start to get on board and a lot of us older people to come and support the vision. So thank
praise
you for the
Lord. Praise the Lord. The curse has been broken off your family because of your obedience. We love you. We love you. We're not going to just invite you back. You got to come back because you're already part of my family and the Hope family there because you're doing what most people could if they only would.
Dr. Deborah, I have a question.
Yes.
I always have a question. I'm probably going to ask everybody on this radio service a question. So what, Dr. Deborah, my question is, this is going to be take place in Georgia?
Yes, right here in Atlanta. We're getting it'll be right here in Atlanta at the warehouse, Atelier 7 LLC. Tony Pope is the CEO and architect for the city of Atlanta.
Okay.
And he's also our architect. He has agreed to allow us to use. He's working on the last bit of insurance. If anybody knows of where someone can, he's having a difficult time getting insurance on the building, and he's going through a lot of insurance companies. So if anybody has somebody that has somebody that has somebody, please give us a referral because we want to get that done as soon as possible. He just got the lease last week, and he's excited, and we're excited about hosting our event there. We already have a person that's going to barbecue. Yes.
Have you heard of Mission Continue?
If somebody can text me, if you have my phone number, just text me, anybody that you have.
I'll let y'all talk after the call, Deborah. Tisha is a veteran, and she's right here in Atlanta also, so I'll hook y'all up, Deborah.
Wonderful. All right, wonderful.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, so thank you.
When you get closer to your event, you got to come back and promote it on the show, but when you get your stuff, send it to us, and we'll spread it out on our network.
Wonderful. Yeah, we work on the flyer. The flyer should be here in the next 3 to 5 days, and then we'll start blasting out this for sponsors and so for support and for people who would like to support an ongoing build, an ongoing building. I mean, once we build it, we'll have our quote-unquote real estate office, you know, and I'll put my real estate hat back on. And then I'll put my leasing hat back on. I'll put all the hats I took off. I'll put them back on so we can create these communities of people loving people.
Well, maybe we can set one of our other super friends that now next to you, because she's been traveling the world for years. She's one of the first businesses that we launched in the community years, about 30-something years ago. Her name is Josetta. Josetta, are you there with Positive Film Promotions? Because she travels a while in the world, just got back from Egypt shooting documentaries,
wow.
Deborah. Josetta, are you there? Okay, go ahead, Mary.
Hey, Alex. Sorry,
hello,
can
you hear
me? Yep,
there's,
go ahead.
Okay,
Josetta.
Well, hello, everyone. Yes.
How was Egypt?
Oh, my goodness. Egypt was amazing. It was incredible. There are hardly words to describe how magnificent it is to walk among the ancients, among our ancestors. There's so much rich history that has been left there for us, and it's being discovered every day. I was blessed to take a cruise down the Nile River.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Jeez.
And as you cruise, you see antiquity passing you by, the new and the old, the modern infrastructure, the expansion in Cairo versus antiquity. People still riding donkeys and
selling
fruit from their carts. It's just a wonderful mixture of the ancient and the new.
Wow.
Josetta, before we get you cranked up, Deborah, Josetta's, I don't know how many houses she's on. She's a world traveler now, and she,
wow,
too has had the generational curse broken off of her family and making sure and do her parents proud by taking care of her next-door neighbors with the Jacksons up in Indiana. So Josetta,
wow,
lives here in Atlanta now. Years ago, when we was birthing businesses out of our church, the fastest growing church in North America, we grew from 1,800 members to a little over 63,000. When Sturdy was growing, our church would seat 20,000 people. And when I was running the nursery back then, Josette and I had a head-on collision with her husband, Mark. At that time, was AEE Sound and Lighting, and he was setting up concerts for James Brown and Aretha Franklin and Earth, Wind, and Fire and all those people that we grew up with. And for some reason, that triggered something positive promotions. So, Josette, if you don't mind, I'm going to hand the mic back over to you. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and I can tell them you're a mom, children, wife, film producer, and doing things in the film industry that has never been done before. His eyes have never seen. She says, I'm going to Egypt and see things that other people never have a chance to see, and I'm going to be doing things in the film industry that has never been done. Positive Promotions, LTD, Josetta, mic back to you, sweetie. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Country, for that magnificent introduction. It really is an honor to be here sharing with each and every one of you. I've been listening, and the things that you all are doing, you are to be commended for. The Hope Collection, all of the works of the Hope Collection, and Dr. Deborah, what you're doing with the new housing and everything, it sounds very exciting. So I really am honored to be here with the rest of you giants for sure. Positive Promotions LTD is my company. We started it almost 30 years ago. We are a television, video production, and multimedia services firm. We've had the distinct pleasure to work in government contracting for 25 of the years that we've been in business. So we work with the United States Army for the Centers for Disease Control, for different organizations all over the world. We even had a chance to work with the Rangers, the Army Rangers. So our experiences have been broad and vast and really a blessing. I do want to say that it is a blessing to have my own company. I prayed long and hard for many years, and anybody who has been in business a long time knows that you've got to do some serious praying to be successful in any way. So God has blessed, has given me visions, and has allowed many of these visions to come true. Having said that, in recent years, we had to change our business model. We used to do a lot of on-site productions where we would do logistics support and production support for concerts, for conventions. We've worked with Bishop T.D. Jakes and done setup for him, sound and lighting and technical support for a lot of different artists inside of Georgia, inside Atlanta, outside, all over the United States and abroad. So having said that, it's been wonderful, but as we all know, during COVID, we had to put brakes on a lot of things, and we weren't able to do on-site productions. But what it did give me a chance to do is to rethink our business model and do the one thing that I've always wanted to do, which is focus on documentary film production. So the last few years, we've been producing documentaries. Our most recent film was released in August of 2022. It's called Mother of Kings. It's the untold story of Mrs. Alberta King, who is the mother of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Her story has been largely overlooked, but she was a powerhouse. She was a woman who raised children that changed the world. And it was put on my heart that anybody that strong certainly needs to have their story told. And right now, her story is out through Positive Promotions LTD. It's available on Tubi for free. And if you want to see it commercial free, it's available on Amazon Prime Video. That's Mother of Kings. It's our contribution to give back, to tell some truth that's been covered up, and to give honor to a woman who understood what it is to be a great mother, a great wife, a great grandmother, and have consciousness to understand that how important it is that we raise our children properly. At the beginning of this broadcast, I heard that he was talking about children and how important they are. Artists was talking about working with children, and it's extremely important that we give them a roadmap. And sometimes the roadmap means looking back to understand how we've come to where we are. And certainly that's what we'd like to hope is going forward with Mother of Kings. So please take a look at it, enjoy it, and circulate it. And I think that's enough for right now. We'll pass it back to you, Country, or Mary, or whomever.
Go ahead, Mary.
Okay. You know, I am extremely honored to be surrounded by so many individuals and women who are doing so much to make things better for the next generation. Because we forget as parents, you know, what we do affects our children. And it can be something as simple as the things we say and how we say them. And when I've been honored that my daughter has been born with a gift of giving to others. And so she helped with Len Cain to create the kindness program for kids. Because with her being autistic and special the way she is, she has a hard time making friends. A lot of kids always make fun of her, and because she doesn't always understand what you're saying, or so she's learned to deal with it, but she always feels a little alone. So she wanted to be able for kids like her to understand they're not alone. And it helps me to see where she's going to make sure I know I'm going on the right path with her and how to help her out. But, you know, there's so many that you don't realize that aren't promoted that need to be promoted and talked about. Because, like, you know, Georgia, you brought up, you know, the fact about, you know, Martin Luther King Jr.'s mom. You know, not only did she raise kids that change the world, but the generations are still continuing.
Yes.
You know, the grandkids are still speaking out, still following the beliefs that they were taught, and working their way to make their own impact.
So Mary, to add what you're saying,
yes,
you know, we said we weren't raise a child. Deborah just said my children have their own non-profit organization. Raise a child up the way they shall go, and they shall not depart from it. Then I flipped over and read another scripture that says we're going to use the children to confound the wise. Lynn Jane had a vision of the kindness campaign 2 years ago, but it took a child to push us out of the starting gate. As I look around us now, we have the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, and the special, did y'all hear that word? Special forces. Mary's been blessed with two special gifted kids. And ain't it funny when it comes time to come down to going to fight that they call in special forces? Joel told me years ago when I first started a radio show with him, he said, Country Boy, yeah, it's okay if you call us super friends. Joel had the vision, you guys, to take the best of the best from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and allow every single person to come in and love their very, very best. We have no hidden agendas. We have no hidden motives on what we do. We have every intention on blessing you, 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 and you. When Lynn said, I'm getting ready to leave home, Mom, raise a child up. She says, Lynn, it doesn't matter where you go in the world. Always be kind. Translate for them, country. Treat other people the way that you want to be treated. And then all of a sudden, Joel had to go on to a better place and says, I'm going to pass the baton to a new president, Ron Clayton, who was new only 40 years of friendship before he stood next to Joel and watched him, and Joel handed him the playbook and said, take it and continue my vision. And Ron has set up something called Hope for You. And then they said, since we're going to be taking people from all different regions of the world, they allowed me, Country Boy, to come in and be the translator. Grandmama called it, it's a blessing to be a blessing. I learned it when I was a child, but I learned it from my grandmama, and then I heard it from Shakespeare, and he gave it to Hamlet, to be or not to be. So if everybody could bless themselves, then we wouldn't need each other. You could just wave a wand over yourself, and if you're not too selfish, then you sprinkle your family. Now, make a long story short, you heard me say Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, their first agenda and their first objective, and they pledged their obedience to protect and, that means in addition to, protect and serve. That's what y'all continuing to do. But when I said now we're going to take the best of the best, we're going to call all of you out, regardless of where you reside in the world. We're going to take all the men, all the women, all the boys, and all the girls, and we're going to come together to help make for a better world. Last one. He told me to remind y'all, misery does love company, but God says, I am that I am love. So we call it One Nation Under Love. the hope is we're going to help you so you can help other people. Each one teach one. So the last lesson for the day is we have to understand, I learned it from my grandmama before I read it in a book. She says, baby, are you to be a blessing or are you not to be a blessing? She says, love is the greatest gift of all. You didn't do nothing to learn it. You didn't do nothing to earn it. But love is not love until one gives. He gave his only begotten son, gives it away. So if you want to experience some love and hope and kindness today, then you start by going out and giving some love and kindness and hope away. Practice it, you old people. Keep in mind, practice doesn't mean you get perfect. Practice means you only get better and better and better, whatever it is you do. Here's the twist. Don't miss it. Do unto others before they do unto you, because when you give some love, some hope, and some kindness away, eventually, law of the universe, whatever you put out there, what goes around comes around. Our passion has went from personal to universal. So do unto others before they do unto you, and when you give love, it eventually comes right back to you, because truly what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. Back to you, Mary.
We have another special guest on today. Go ahead.
If I was able to just share a thought when Country was talking, especially when he mentioned our armed forces, I came from a line of my father was a vet. My son-in-law, son is in the, he's retiring from the Navy. So I've had all four branches, and I realized they all came back, and they all have, in their own right, from having to serve and love a country and protect it. And I noticed that a lot of my Celtic working seniors and vets, do you know that 80% of that community falls in those categories, and the larger part of my vets. And as we were talking about the sacrifice they have made, for we have not done our part to make that love has been reciprocated, protection was reciprocated. And as I meet a lot of angry vets and a lot of vets that have shut themselves down or met, I always try to remember the fact that my have all of the medicine, the emotional medicine, but I do have a pill. And my pill, a glimpse into an eye or a handshake or a gesture, or just listening to their version of life. I always tell people it's not how much you give, it's where you give it from. Because many times I'm there to listen and serve. While during the pandemic, it made people afraid to be around you. It made people afraid that they get something from you. Well, I realized in the community that I serve, their population had the least amount of COVID because God protected them. They lived in the element. They endured. And standing out in the cold with them, and my bones were shivering from inside, I was almost that I was getting ready. They were standing outside the cold like a soldier. I'm not asking, or no one's asking anybody to do all of it. It's just that in the middle of the night, God will tell you what part you play. And that's all that's required. Because the magnitude of what he's, the love he's trying to do, that void of love is huge, it's great. It's so big that only God can orchestrate a movement of love like that. But we are the people he's placed on the planet to exhume who he is, to exhibit who he is, and to show love does exist. for God who loves us all, no matter what circumstances are. But Country, thank you for reminding me of our vets, because my heart goes out to them, because they served and they're not served in the capacity of which.
Deb, I want to say one more thing before we let you go, because you've been more than willing. You said you had 15 minutes and you've been with us a whole hour today. Thank you for your time. And again, we got to invite you back. But Deborah, white paper, a lot of people don't know what that is. Nike's still out there yelling, just do it. But Deborah Clark is very silently saying, been there, done that, change the laws. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. But there are certain things Mary and I have been talking about every day, and Keisha talking about every day. Why do we keep doing things over and over and over again, and it's not working? I've never called nobody in my life stupid. But if you look in Webster Dictionary, it says continue to do the same thing over and over again, and it's not working, and you continue to do it the same way. It is nowhere close to being right that they gave their life, put it on the line for us, and they come home, and 70% of the soldiers that come home from the war of many different kinds end up dying or committing suicide here back on the home line. When you see the soldier standing on the corner and says, I work for food. The work has already been done. The price has already been paid. Now it's time for us to stand up and speak out and do what we know is right. We got these prisons closing. The last trip that Joel, an artist, took with me is when they closed a prison, an all-black woman's prison in Milan, Georgia. It sits right there on the coast of Savannah, less than an hour from the Atlantic Ocean. They ran the railroad tracks right through the village so that they can put the cantaloupes and the watermelons, the super fruits and stuff on there. They could be growing their own greens, collard greens. Take their barbware down and put solar panels on the top. So this is what we're doing. And I said that to say, Deborah, just one more time before you go. Paper, when I said Nike says been there, done that, just do it. Deborah has been there and done that. If you listen to her speak, when Ron says faith up right up front, family right up front, faith, family, health is your first wealth, water, energy, got those. She's got them under her resume. You don't need no energy unless you got somewhere to live, housing. She just told you she's building, not talking about it, building houses. And when you get a housing, we got veteran contracts that will maintain the house with Home Depot, so the value of the house, Joel Griffin left us that little piece of the puzzle. So when we start talking about education, been there, done that, you're still educating. And Joe Settler said, we've been educating these kids, but they letting it slide through the crack. Let me document it so the other ones would come along. Lynn says, keep it simple, K-I-S, keep it simple, surfing. So we right now have enough love amongst us to make the world go round. So, Deborah, eight right. pillars that Joel left us. Deborah has paperwork that demonstrates and will walk us right to the White House steps on paper that she wrote 20, 30 years ago. Ron, I'm going to make sure you guys get a chance to talk with Tumor of Omer, Chuck. Because when I said Ron loves me, say, Deborah, we don't really care whether you graduated from Harvard or Yale or just got out of jail, put your little degrees away. And when I'm working with Atlanta children, kids that are misplaced, displaced, when the time they're 3 to 4, now they're 12 to 14, with no high school diploma, no GED, where do they go? So these are the things that we're talking about. Deborah, before you exit one more time, baby, give us one more little cliff note, because if we're trying to do it, Deborah already has the blueprint. Back to you, Deborah.
Well, we're helping people to make sustainable, alternative, healthy lifestyles. We're going back to Eden, back to basics. You can log on to hopeattheholidays.org, just as it sounds. And every holiday, we do something very special for our guests at Trinity. And that requires me making 120 to anywhere between 80 and 120 sandwiches, hot meals, snacks, and drinks every Sunday. So there's always a place for people to give. We also do pickups. If anybody has a pickup truck, please let us know. If you spend a day down there with us, your life will never be the same. It won't. And you'll grow. And you'll be blessed. HopeAtTheHolidays.org. And if you want to see some of our housing models, just go to Green Shades, just like GreenShades, GreenShadesCommunity.com. And when you go to Hope for the Holidays, you can log on and sponsor anything that's on the site that's needed. And we give you a 501c tax-deductible donation. I guess that's the only reason why I got it, so people can get their money back through their giving. But on a real note, thank you for taking the time to – I don't speak very much. I stay in the trenches, and I stay relevant. I've been at 2 White House summits. The last one was here. Joe Biden sent a delegate from the White House to talk on hunger and homelessness here. And even standing in that room were some of the greatest minds and people who are doing huge statewide feedings. I said to them, we still haven't done good enough. As long as they stand outside with their hand extended and have no place to go and heat up their food. Some of the people have so much baggage, they need storage. I use my pickup truck to move them from tent to tent or from place to place if necessary. And I think the greatest time I had was barbecuing under the bridge on their rock stoves. It was amazing to see on 4th of July. Every holiday we have a special event. And on 4th of July, we were under the bridge, and I was cooking on the rock barbecue grill that they made out there with all the big boulders. And over 100 people came out. I saw mothers and children on strollers. I didn't know how they were hiding. But the smell of a barbecue brought everybody around. They brought family. We had a nice little gathering. Barbecue smoke. And you got a chance to talk to them and let them know, hey, you're loved. That's the one thing we have
a
little of.
Yeah, so Deborah, it's not just written. Give, I said give, and it shall be given back unto you. If it's a blessing to be a blessing, and I said think about it, are you to be or are you not to be? And for you religious people that want to get out of your Bible and says it's a blessing and I shall be blessed in my going and my coming, but question, because of your obedience, Josetta, because of your obedience, Ron Clayton, artist, Mary, Keisha, the whole crew, somebody else's prayer is being answered because of your obedience, because you're willing to do what you've been put here to do, because it truly is, I said it truly is a blessing to be a blessing, and the truth is the truth is the truth until it ain't. Thank you for joining us, Deborah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
And Josetta. And I think Mary says we have another special guest. It ain't the Juice Queen, is it?
Well, I want to introduce a fellow veteran who's moving miles to help other vets among many
Keisha.
Other people.
Keisha.
That's right.
I nominate Keisha.
You guys are too funny. First
all
of all, let me say,
James would take the guilty and the innocent. Keisha.
We call let me tell you, it's such a privilege to be among so many people who are doing so much for so many others, you know, without trying to, you know, trying to rep yourself or trying to, you know, I don't know, just to shine alone. And it's a wonderful thing. I'm just loving this. Me, I am, like Mary said, I'm a veteran. My greatest accomplishment, though, is my 26-year-old, and he's in the military. He's been in the military since 2013. And in my family, that is a family business, being in the military, that is a family business. So we are all connected to service. We are all, the only person who has it is my mother, and I feel like she really served by helping us when we had to be deployed or a kid had to go to some other place or somebody had to be looked after. My mother was always there for us. So we looked at it in, I think it was 2012, and at that time we had over 150 years of military service in our family, to include the in-laws and the outlaws and everyone else. I retired in 2008. I retired in 2008 from the Army, and God kind of put it in my heart that I was meant to serve, and so I needed to go out and do that. So that's what I did. I started out working in with the Habitat for Humanity. I worked with a small organization that helps the homeless in McDonough, Georgia. I can't even remember that. It's called Hope House. It's called, which is funny. It's called Hope House.
Wow, we got all this hope going around.
Huh?
We have all this hope going around.
Yeah, it's a lot of hope going on today. Yeah, Miracle Mission Hope House. That's the name of it.
Oh my God.
That's right.
Keisha, don't lose your thought. Mary and I just had a conversation with Charles Hughes up in North Carolina. He has been property. He's been working on for 2 years, and he's got it ready to go. And then all of a sudden he received a phone call from the Hope Foundation wanting to buy his building, the Hope Foundation.
Oh, wow.
He's been on the show before, but he don't know who the Hope Foundation is up in Charlotte, North Carolina, that wants to buy his building. Back to you, Keisha.
Oh, wow. Go ahead.
I hope everybody's getting this.
There is a theme going on today.
Are you picking up what God is putting down? He's got enough love amongst us to make the world go around.
Yeah. So,
and it was not planned.
Oh, yes, it was, just not by us.
that
was a godly
it's
plan.
It's all a part of God's plan. It's just a mystery to us how he's hooking people up. Mary's my best friend in Minnesota. I jumped through the phone and kissed her in her mouth while her husband was standing right next to her because I told her I love her. Deborah, Keisha. Most of the people that's on the phone right now that's doing business already because we're about our father's business has never met each other.
Nope.
It's a mystery. Not to God. Go ahead, Keisha.
So basically, my life has been dedicated to helping others. And I'm not trying to be seen. I'm not trying to rep my situation. But really what I do is I connect organizations with other organizations. Like just like you were talking about your project, Dr. Deborah, I was talking about Mission Continues. Mission Continues is an organization that of veterans who go to lower income, underserved areas, and they help them in whatever way. We build playgrounds. We build benches and parks. We refurbish classrooms. We've done, I don't work with them as much because I have, like, several other organizations I work with. I work with the Wounded Warrior Project. I work with the VFW, the Veterans of a Foreign War. I work with the American Legion. And we're all about helping. My main purpose has been helping in the veteran realm, though, because we all need someone and we all need to focus on our one thing, our one gift, or else we're not helping anybody. If we're just scattered all around the world and trying to do everything, nobody gets served.
Right.
Nobody gets help. So mainly I work with veterans. Let me tell you about, another thing I do is I kind of help others by giving them advice on like self-care of like, say you have a project that you want to do, you know, we'll sit down, we'll talk it out, and you'll find that my input or just me being there will help you to come into another realization or helping you to like fund something, like you'll decide to write a book, and you can write a book on this or that, the other thing. So that's what God has put me out to do. So basically, my company, the business that I am building now is called Some Sharp Advice LLC. But it all stems down to me helping others to get what they need to live a better life. Life is short. We don't often get a lot of opportunities. None of us get opportunities constantly. So we need to learn to take advantage of them and to grow and to have a good life, because that's what God wants us to have, a good life. And that's my objective, like I said, to help people to have a better life. So basically that's what I do.
Yeah. You.
And Keisha, again, another one of those. Thank you again, sweetie. Powers. And then, see, Keisha is kind of, she's like a lot of us. It's easier for somebody else to talk about you, but when you start to say, I do this and I did that. See, Deborah, you taught me, too, when I talked about earlier, you got to bring your own amens with you. A lot of times people are not really grateful because they're not used to somebody being nice to them. And when you do something good for somebody, people say, oh, why are they helping me? You know, do they want something in return? But, see, when I talked to Keisha on the sidelines about how you heard her say, well, I don't really want to be seen, most people that serve don't want to be seen. The key people that cook the food in the kitchens, you hardly ever see them, and they're the ones that serve and peel the potatoes and got burnt while they was doing it and did all those things and washed the dishes and took out the trash after you left. People in the military, most of the time, I don't care what branch you're in, you wear camouflage. So you won't be seen. Before people see, I freaked out when Rick Reese built my website and put my picture on the web. How are they going to know who I am now? Before they called me Country Boy, my grandmama called me the Spiritual Ninja. You got to be able to have, Deborah said, many are called and few are chosen. And when your heart speaks to you that this is what you're supposed to do to bless somebody, it's not optional on whether you do it or not. Either you do or you don't. Either you will or you won't. There's good and there's bad. Evil keeps showing up. Dr. King says, and Joe said, I probably got it in a documentary. I've been around the world more than one time, and I've seen all different types of evil and cults and warlocks. Question. When are we going to start showing up? When is kindness, when is light going to show up? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I ain't scared. Why? Because you can't have a shadow without light. God says to remind you, I am that I am. I am the truth and I am the light. Last one. Right now on this road and this destiny that God has us on, He's not trying to figure out how to get you to your destiny. He's preparing you step by step for the destiny that He's already prepared for you. In order for anybody to be blessed, you must, not maybe, place at the right time with the right people. One nation under God. That's where about our Father's business. Back to you, Mary.
You know, you bring up a point. You know, you ask when kindness is going to show up. Kindness is always there. It's just it needs its voice to be louder. No, there's always little things, opening the door for somebody, smiling at somebody.
One more point, Mary.
That shows. Go ahead.
One more point.
So that's why
country
pause,
boy.
I assumed you
they
were going to cut in.
Country boy talks a lot. Let me explain one more thing to y'all real fast. Your Fourth Amendment rights is you have a right to remain silent. But I choose to give up my right to remain silent because everything that I say and everything that I do can and will be used to bless somebody. Programming this process that we're doing right now, we have to be able to stand up and speak out. When I see these things, all different types of cults and all different types of evil, that's what everybody needs to understand now, that we all have something that God and only Him gave to us that we can do. In the South, we say, ain't nobody can do what you do, like you do, when you do, what you do. And see, we're equipping people with the connections. Well, you heard me say it's a blessing to be. We truly do need each other. But this is what my granddaddy says. Please understand this. He told me, country boy, if you're the smartest person on your team, then you need to get yourself some new team players. Why? Because if you have too many people around you just like you, it creates jealousy and envy, and they will not complete you. They will compete with you. We all play a part of God's special plan. And see, before all this commotion, before you was formed in your mama's, yeah, before you had to outrun 3 million other little sperms to even to come into this thing called life, before there was a New Year's and a Christmas and a Easter Sunday, before there was a night or a day, a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, before there was a tit or a talk, God says to remind you guys, I knew you. That's our plan. No, it's part of God's plan. He told me to remind you, I have plans to prosper you, Deborah Clark. I have plans to prosper you, Josetta. 30 years of time she'd been wandering around in the internet world, out there on the information superhighway. She couldn't get run over on the information superhighway because God placed a Holy Ghost bubble around her for a time such as now. So when Mary says we now are not going to just stand idly by and watch our children be bullied, that's what I was saying when I mentioned Dr. King, when I said, when is kindness going to show up? It's a never-ending battle of good versus evil. It looked like we was winning the battle, losing, y'all, losing our kids, losing them to the streets, losing them to being killed. So when are we going to show up and say enough is enough is enough? It has to stop right here. Remember I said earlier, I've never called anybody stupid, but what do you want to call it if we stand idly by and act like we don't understand about global warming? We don't understand if we keep throwing plastic in the ocean, it's going to poison all the little fishies and the smokestack. This is the thing. And the last one I wanted to make, Ron, when Mary, she said, friendship is already here. Ron Clayton called a special prayer that Sunday when the football player got hurt. I remember him saying, can we just stop what we're doing right now? That's what they said on the intercom. So people that was listening and watching around the world, they said, we're going to take a moment. I don't know how much a moment is. I think that's less than a second. A moment of silence and just pray. All knees shall bow. yeah. Even gets better. They said, we want God to come. We want him to come. I said, shoot, what you mean that he doesn't want him to come? He's the omnipotent one. He's already there. He wants you to stand up and recognize that God says, I got all power in my hand. I don't want to go back and throw no bad memories back. You remember 911 when they prayed? They said, today at noon,
We told y'all we had our call at noon, but Lynn Kane's in California, and he's 3 hours behind us. Mary's in Minnesota. I just found out where that was the other day. Oatman's down there in Florida. He's an hour behind us. And the people that are listening on the other side of the world is on a different time zone. But when we say such a time is now, he's the only person that has control of our past. We're living for today because we're not promised tomorrow, because now is all we have. And he's the only person that has the power to change our tomorrow who's not even got here yet. He's the omnipotent one. When I said good versus evil, it's time to do what we're doing right now, whether we do it on the airways or on you. And that's why Mary says, oh, he's opened up the doors to every social media network on the planet because he has a word. Last one, Mary. All religions. I'm a Baptist. You might be a Catholic. Krishna was good. Muhammad was good. God says it was good. When he said it was good, saw it was good, and it was good, not necessarily in that order. It was good. So if it's good, we want to be involved in it. And if it's evil, we want it to go away. And they said one person can hate make how many demons flee? So this is what we're doing, you guys. We're bringing your God. Yeah, your God. What do you call him? You can call him 1,000 different names. It won't be enough. You're talking to the mighty aquarium, the water barrier. Some people call me a pond. Some people call me a lake. Some people call me a stream. Some call the Chattahoochee River. Some people call me the ocean. I'm still the water. I'm still water. You can call me whatever religion you want to call me. All religions are good religions. It's the people inside of the religions that make the religious look bad. So we all have a calling on our life, and anything less than your best is absolutely to you, Mary.
I have one quick correction for you. Yes, you remembered where I live, but Oakman lives in Jersey.
So my point being, it doesn't matter what portion of the planet you are, you're where you are, and it's no surprise to the divine creator who placed you right where you are. But he told me to remind you, I can get you there from wherever you are to your destiny that's right in front of you, but you can't reach your destiny until you overcome the biggest obstacle in your life. And they said one's worst enemy is oneself. What are you saying to you about you? Country boys over here whispering to himself, I can do all things through Christ. Yeah, I can do all things through Christ. And if you say I can't do it, regardless on what you're telling you, I can do this, a little train that thought I could, I think I can, I know I can. God's sending me some help. He's connecting me with Keisha. He's connecting me with Mary. He's connecting me with Ron. He's connecting me to the money. Deborah, he's connecting me to the money. He's connecting you to the money. This is what's happening, you guys. He says, I'm going to give you everything that you need. Exceedingly, abundantly, more than you can imagine. You got to use what you got to get what you want.
Hey, I have a kind of question for all these ladies out here. You guys are doing such tremendous things, and Country Boy says something that really stands out for me. He says that. He's talking about when is kindness going to come into play. I want to know, when are we going to be kind to ourselves? Really? When are we going to put ourselves first? You know, we do so much for so many people. I know we do. You know, last year and the year before, I'll just say were challenging for me. It was challenging for a lot of people. But when 2023 hit, I really sat down and had a conversation with myself, and I said, you know, what are you doing? You know, I understand you want to help this person, you want to help that person, but the person you need to help first is that person who is with you all the time, the person who you are. You cannot help anyone if you deny yourself the kindness and the love and the attention that you need. You know, we can meet with a million people, and they can help us do whatever things. But if we're broke down and we're tired and we're, you know, we're not giving to ourselves, We're not giving to our family. We're not, you know, we're not taking care of ourselves, you know, just loving on ourselves, then somebody's gonna miss out. Somebody's gonna fall to the wayside. Somebody's not gonna get the 100% that you think you're given. So when are we kind to ourselves?
You know, you bring up a really good point. Go ahead, Country.
That's why Mary is teaching people about bullying. If you feel better about yourself, then you wouldn't be doing the things that's wrongdoing to other people. It is nowhere close to being cool to being selfish. Mary put it at the end of that little conversation we had the other day. When God's going to take you to new altitudes in your life, you're going to, it's not maybe, you're going to experience a little turbulence in your life. But if you've ever been on a plane and you reach a higher altitude, they'll tell you that if anything happens inside of the plane and the air pressure changes, we want you to understand that there's an oxygen mask going to drop down in front of you. We know you love your mama, them, and your babies, them, but before you try to save them, put the mask on yourself first. Aaron, go to the mountaintop immediately, God told him. I'm going to bless you. And Aaron started to turn around and sort of walk. He said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to get my mama then. Okay, y'all know the story. Selfish. It is nowhere cool to be selfish because, again, one cannot do all the things that one needs to do themselves. And if you think that you can do everything that the divine creator has told you to do by yourself, then he didn't tell it to you. But it is okay, more than okay, it's spiritually, to be self-full. I just told you that one's worst enemy is one's self. But if you don't take care of your health, if you don't take care of you, hygiene, take baths, sleep properly, self, then guess what? If you start trying to go out and save the community like Deborah and save this family over here and go get that kid out of jail and take the homeless man and you didn't ask him whether he had a shot or not, he didn't have no mask in his pocket. Then you have to understand, you have to take care of you. Let me tell you another little secret. If you're not taking care of you, and you are designed in God's own image, and you are a one-of-a-kind original, and there's no one in the world that can do what you do like you do when you do what you do, if you don't take care of you, you're not only cheating you, you're cheating the God that you say you serve, which means you're putting you last and you're putting your God that you serve last. If God empowers you, then what's inside? Oh, he says, I got to go on now to my father. I can't stay here with you, country boy, but if you want me to take up permanent residence, Deborah Clark, I'm going to reside in your heart where it truly starts. Wherever you go, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. What's inside of you is for you, Keisha. Comes out of you. It's for somebody else. So you take care of you, then you can help take care of other people. And it all starts with what are you feeding your spirit, because he said, I'm the Almighty God. I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'll give you the power if you use it to do things. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. Bless somebody that may not be able to bless themselves. Mother Nature, whatever you put out there, eventually comes back to you, even if it does not come from the person that you originally gave it to you. What goes around comes around. Are you to be a blessing, or are you not to be? Choose this day who you with.
You know, and we just lost country. So, you know, the misconception is, and this is part of, you know, the kindness program that we hand out to the schools and we teach, is taking care of yourself, is not being selfish. Doing things for yourself is not. a bad thing. You have to put yourself first in order for you to take care of everybody else, just like Country said. And the line got really quiet.
Now, Mary, I know you got somebody. Somebody's going to say something. Unmute your phones and let us hear the baby making noise or something in the background, because silence means that there's a nerve thinking. But again, my grandmama says, my best, and I do talk a lot, but my grandmama says the best conversation that I ever had was while I was sitting in my prayer closet. My grandmother's prayer closet was a rocking chair on the front porch. Right around dark 30, grandmama says, I'm getting ready to go now. I said, you getting ready to go where? She said, in my prayer closet. And she never moved out of a rocking chair, because everybody doesn't eat, everybody's still. God has a way of isolating us when he wants to speak to us. Just because you can be alone, it is not good. It is not good for man to be alone. But you can be in your home and be alone and not be lonely. You can be in a crowd of people, like a veteran, and watch cars go by every day and be dying on the inside. So regardless on whether you want to stand up and speak out, you don't have to scream and you don't have to shout, but you do have to courageously stand up and speak out. There are certain things that we know that are not right. We know that there's, grandmama said, we did not serve a God of confusion, two sides to everything, dark, light, good, bad, up, down, front, back. And that's what we're saying now, you guys. You can choose to be good to yourself if you want to be. When I said one's worst enemy, if you tell yourself that you're going to start eating more healthy and you're going to do this or you're going to do that, you're the only person that really knows whether you're lying to yourself or not. So then that conversation is, regardless on what anybody said, we all are a spirit. We started from a spirit. We're going to end up as a spirit. We covered with this flesh, walking in trials and tribulation. Though, did y'all not read? Y'all been telling the story about Job, but now the biggest question now is not why me, Lord, and the people out there that's not willing to do what they've been called to do. Their biggest question right now is how much sin and wrongdoing can I get away with and still get saved? So we're not trying to save the world. God says, my mama says, you can't save the whole world, planet. And then I go sing my little kid song. He's got the whole world in his hand. But see, we have to understand that we all are uniquely designed and crafted, one of a kind, designed in his own image, and truly ain't nobody can do what you do like you do when you do what you do. But we're calling you out. We have a team of God's people that's willing to work with you in the areas that you need help in most. The Hope Foundation says we help people so that they can help other people. It's a blessing to be a blessing. We care enough to share enough information with you so that you know what you need to know in order to be able to grow in any area of your life. And the juice lady says she's got some dope juice. We're talking about things that you're putting in your body. Health is your first wealth around the planet now. Everybody's becoming more health conscious. Mary has already set up different platforms to talk about food and health and nutrition. On Tuesdays now we have a travel show because we're healing the nation with vacations. Granddaddy said the more good memories you have to fill your life up with, the longer you live long. You live longer. On Wednesdays,
all
Mary
right,
is just going off. Okay, go ahead, Mary.
I'm going to cut you off because Keisha is throwing me under the bus on the phone.
Okay, get it, baby, and tell them what we're going to do next. And there's somebody else in the shoot.
All right. Well, yeah. So we got a lot of things coming in the works. So, you know, we've had talked to a lot of great women that have stepped up and gone beyond what the average person does to change the world. And there's a couple projects that I've built and worked on that's near and dear to my heart. And what got me started with moving and doing what I'm doing now. And the very first one is called the Adopt a Soldier Program. And we started it in San Antonio, Texas at Fort Sam. And it was designed for kids because the misconception, when you're in a military base, that it runs 24/7. And it does, except for training facilities. They actually shut down during the holidays. So if you have nowhere to go, no, or you can't afford to go anywhere, you're kind of stuck in the barracks. You're kind of stuck doing what they tell you to do. And it gets hard and lonely during the holidays. So I helped develop a program so that the communities around the bases, individuals, through background checks and cleared out, would take a soldier and get to spend the holidays with them. So they had an adopted family is what we called it, so that, and somewhere to go. And now it's on, I believe, 95% of all military bases through all branches.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It blew my mind when a lot of people, like Len Kane, for instance, and even Keisha, you know, knew about the program because I left shortly after we developed it. So I didn't get to see how far it got to go and how it still continues.
Well, can you tell us, Mary, how, like, a situation, like how it would progress? I mean, like, how would you find a soldier who, whatever, like, or a particular instance where a soldier went through your program and the outcome?
So what we do is we send out flyers and we, a lot of the local radio stations and TV stations will advertise it for the citizens to take initiative. And what they do is they have a form that they fill out online. Or they can call a military base, one of the military bases, excuse me, and we get all your information. And for the safety of our soldiers, to make sure that you're not what you say you are, we do background checks and check you out. And the goal is, you know, I went through this when I was in the military. I didn't have a family to go home to very often. And so it gets lonely being the only person not getting letters or not being, you're always on base or you're always, you know, there. You're not seeing, you know, your family isn't coming to visit, things like that. And that was the hope that these kids could have somewhere to go and just have fun within restrictions. Because you are in uniform when you do this and you are representative of the military. But it's just so that it's uplifting so you don't feel so isolated. Because I don't know if you experienced this a lot when you were in there, but it can be lonely and isolating at times when you're in the military. Especially when you see all your buddies getting care packages and you're not getting anything.
Right, right. That is exactly true. And it causes a lot of problems later on down the road. And what you are providing is a support system for soldiers that probably made a serious difference. One of the positions I had in the military was a military police officer, and it was for Fort Benning. And several times the younger soldiers who didn't have that support system, they would get in trouble, they would cause all kinds of issues, and, you know, some of them would hurt themselves, and we had to go and we had to investigate. And we had to, you know, deal with things. If there was a system like this in place, I know there was one in my in my son's unit, he's in the Navy, because every holiday, because he was in California and his family was on the East Coast, our family's on the East Coast, you know, he would spend Thanksgiving or the holidays with a family, you know, who was fully formed. Maybe it was a mother and father who had kids, or, you know, somebody would kind of adopt him. And so I feel like that's the extenuation of your project.
You know, and we've been blessed with this project. Is, you know, we end up turning people away because you don't have enough soldiers for the amount of people that actually wanted to help us. You know, and that's what blew my mind the most is, you know, we had people calling us, asking us about this and wanting to do this. And I'm like, I'm sorry. We just try again next year, because that's, you know, how much of an outreach we get from local communities.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could say that about something like homelessness or people who don't have enough food, you know, who are food insecure, that we just, you know, we've helped so much that there's no more, you know, available. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It would be a dream, but, you know, people don't realize how much of a need there is, especially right now with inflation the way it is, how many people have to decide if they're going to pay their electric bill or if they're going to buy groceries for their kids.
Yeah, it still exists.
And, well, it's even worse now when groceries are three times the price.
And it seems like always the nutritious stuff always costs a little bit more money. You want to buy the good things, but a lot of times you have to buy the stuff that's on sale.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's true.
So,
but,
Mary, I know I'm glad you made me stop, but, Mary, we do have a few minutes left. You take the time and the energy. I would like to wish you, Keisha, Deborah, Josetta, and all the other women out there in the world, happy Mother's Day today. Go away. I don't feel like being your mom today. See, that's something when we start talking about unsung heroes, that you guys never get an opportunity to take a vacation off from your family 24/7. You're a mother of two special kids, a husband that's more understanding than any man that I've ever met on the planet, to be able to be unselfish enough to share you, not with just the Hope Foundation, with the world now, Mary, because you've opened up so many sectors. Nobody high knows how to talk to Google and YouTube and Roku and all those people that you're connecting us to. But you, but then you're a teacher, you're a psych person. Tell us a little bit about who you are, Mary, before you cut us off, because without you, we wouldn't even have this show today. Go ahead, Mary. Tell us a little bit about who you are before you sign off, if you don't mind, sweetie.
Yeah, so I'm retired from the military. I'm also an integrative behavior specialist, health and wellness coach, certified nutritionist, hypnotherapist, a mom, a wife. I've got lots of labels. What day of the week is it today? Depends on what my label is. And I am a huge advocate for special needs and bringing special needs and treating them like regular kids, especially kids, because we are looking at them like they're different or they're broken. And they're just kids. And so my mission in life is to change the way we think and how we deal with our kids, because, you know, especially with autism, there's so many little quirks or problems that they have, and it's more attitude or, you know, acting out different things. But, you know, you're told, this is the therapies you got to put them in, and you're told what medications they have to be on.